as we get not great economic news, certainly not the news that Tiff Macklem over at the Bank of Canada would want to see, because our inflation has gone back up to 3.3% in July. And so Tiff Macklem said, hey, I'm going to raise rates as long as I have to get down to 2%. And he did. And then he put a pause on it. And now this report today will signal what the next move is. And that's a tough move because people are really, really struggling. He's got to get interest rates and inflation off the grid. But what do the numbers mean today if they're going up when, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, the finance minister herself was saying, look, relief's on the way. Well, no, it's not. So what happens now? Is this baking in? Is this a blip? What is the story behind the numbers? For that, we go to someone with a much bigger brain than me. For that, we go to Moshe Lander, the economist over with the Concordia University. Great to have you.
Good morning.
All right. So what if you were Tiff Macklem today, you'd be thinking what? What would your thought bubble be?
Well, he did say last month that inflation was probably going to hover around 3% for the next year, year and a half. So when you see the number, it's not good news, but it's somewhat expected. I think that the forecast we're calling for about 3. So this is a little off forecast, but I don't think it's the end of the world yet. I don't know that I'm necessarily reaching for the interest rate lever to hike it in a couple of weeks.
He did, though, change that talking point because he said it will get down to 2% and then had to adjust those numbers. How much of this is partly stateside kind of rubbing off on us? And how much of this is fuel prices? Or is this something else? Is this baking in?
Yeah, I think it's all three. So I think part of it is that a lot of countries are still continuing to experience difficulties in getting inflation down to their targets. Almost all of them have something around that 2% range these days. So they're all struggling with that. So we are maybe importing a little bit of U.S. inflation. It is getting hardwired into the system to some extent. You can see that people are now negotiating for wages that involve more than a 2% raise, even more than a 3% raise. Take a look at the port in Vancouver, WestJet pilots, yep. No shortage of examples. But part of it, too, is, like you said, it's the gasoline price illusion that, you know, now that the big $2 a liter that existed 13 months ago is off the books, it looks like inflation is now showing up in gasoline prices, where actually it was a drag on prices before.
Yeah, albeit it could have been a lot worse because it could have been high the whole time. So we I think dodged a bullet in other ways. But you know, that port disruption, that strike in BC was a month. I mean, it was billions to our economy. Will that have had any impact on this, or does that come down the line?
Yeah, it will show up in the numbers. Probably not this month, because what we're looking at is the last month's numbers, right? So we're in mid-August now. Yeah. We're seeing what the impact was for July. Probably August numbers, when they come out in a month, are going to show an equally bleak number because, yeah, we're going to have all of those supply chain disruptions from the port strike starting to show up in the numbers there too.
Yeah. And so what we're facing, you know, reading a couple of articles and, you know, economists predict, I mean, that's what they do. And sometimes they get it right. And as Tiff Macklem will tell you, sometimes they don't. Having said that, you know, the prediction is 2024 starts in recession. What are you seeing in the numbers given what we now see today?
Yeah, so I think that the recession is probably here. It probably won't show up officially in the numbers because we're always working with a delay. We're going to get the second quarter of 2023 at the beginning of September. So it'll probably show that the economy had a mild slowdown or at least flat growth. And then when we get the third quarter numbers, it's probably going to show that there was a contraction. I don't think, though, that it's going to be the type of recession that right. You and I remember from the 20th century. I think it's going to be.
Oh, I remember. Yeah,
exactly. So I think it's going to be much milder, much shorter. And I think that it's going to be a softer landing than the type of crashes that we would see in the 1980s, 1990s.
Yeah. How much concern do you have over China? I mean, their economy is very wobbly. Some are talking about it just completely tanking. And then what would happen, you know, to the rest of the world? And so how concerned are you about what's happening with China's economy?
Yeah, it's a concern. They have traditionally kind of dictated how the global economy goes. The interesting thing with the global economy is that even when China slows down, they're still growing at a pace that would make us salivate, right? So, you know, if they slow down and only grow at 4 or 5% a year, we haven't seen that type of growth in decades. So we're going to feel it to some extent. But it's partly then why I would encourage all politicians of any party to be pushing for a broader free trade agenda. If we're a country, as we know, usually having been the U.S., it needs we catch a cold, right? We don't want now just transfer our reliance over to the Chinese economy. So, you know, small countries like Canada need to push for that liberalized trade agenda so that we can insulate ourselves better. And if one country goes down, it doesn't take us with them.
Yeah, the diversify trade argument has been going on a while, albeit, you know, build here. You know, Polly Everest campaigning on it, bring it here. At least we have reliance. Don't rely on others. Build the supply chains here. Shore up everything here. And I think a lot of people here say we might pay more, but it does make sense. I don't know if it's how long it would take a long time, but you know.
Yeah, and I would actually push back on that one. It doesn't make sense to me as an economist. There are certain things that we're just not good at doing. So you know, if we wanted to take that argument to its logical extension, should we develop, say, an orange growing industry in this country so we're not reliant on
the
U.S.? Yeah. So there are just some things that we're not equipped to do, whether it's climatologically or whether it's just we don't have the labor skills or the capital infrastructure for that. So, again, the broader agenda is to try and wish back a way of life that we used to have is probably going to be counterproductive to us. It's more a recognition of we shouldn't be putting money into things that we're just not good at anymore or other countries can do more efficiently. And that recognition then and that acknowledgement is probably much more important. But, you know, from a political standpoint, the idea of, you know, make America great again or let's get Canada back to the way we used to be, that has a certain appeal to people that are nostalgic or that are afraid of the future. But from a trade standpoint, hey, if we're not good at doing it anymore and you can do it better, then we'll happily provide you with stuff that we're good at doing in exchange for the stuff you're good at doing.
Yeah, well, let's get it going and hope it improves in the future. I am out of time. Appreciate yours. Thanks so much.
Anytime. All right. Take care.
That is Moishe Lander, who's All Things Economy over at Concordia.